You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, Ron, when somebody's down, I think we should just kick them. What do you think?
I don't think we should show them any respect at all. I say no more civility and more kicks in order.
And chase them out of restaurants and get in their face.
Let's harass them. Let's catch them in the elevators. Let's say mean-spirited things to them in front of their family.
And let's dox them.
And let's block their access when they're even on their own private property. Let's do that, Linda. I think that's the game.
I think that that's what we should do from now on. Isn't that what they're saying now, Ron? Isn't that what the Democrats want to do to the Republicans?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish I could say that the paradigm for that changed overnight, but there's been a long history of that type of attitude and behavior on the part of the left. And I'm not even going to call it the Democrats anymore, because I think that the Democrats have been kidnapped by the radical left, and I don't see any more Democrats anymore. The word Democrat to me means that you believe in a democratic form of government and not some sort of fascist, Nazi-esque government.
Well, and you're right, that therefore the Democratic Party as it used to be doesn't exist anymore, and they have been kidnapped. And, you know, this kind of rhetoric that's happening right now is very scary, because somebody's going to get hurt, and maybe more than one person is going to get hurt. And this is not the American way of doing things. This is not how we come together for the American people. This is just two kids in a schoolyard duking it out. And I think all of us are sick of it. And I don't know what the answer is, but they're not toning it down after Kavanaugh was put into the Supreme Court. They are ramping it up.
Well, they're doubling and tripling it, tripling down on this. And I'm going to disagree with you one thing. Your analogy in part is good. You can actually picture that analogy. But we're not dealing with school kids. We're dealing with adults.
Well, okay? I don't think so.
You're right. Okay. But we're dealing with adults that are acting like school kids. But you know me, the behaviorist, and it's tick, tick, tick. Think about the ticking time bombs that I have written about so much. Mm-hmm. The people that are not on the radical right, they're not on the radical left, they are the people with mental health problems.
Absolutely.
And they hear people like Maxine Waters, like Cory Booker, for God's sakes, like the former Attorney General Eric Holder, all talking violence. Eric Holder the other day saying, let's kick them when they're down. All right. Hillary Rodham Clinton saying no more civility. Maxine Waters and Cory Booker saying let's harass them. Let's follow them into restaurants. Let's give them no respite. Let's give them no peace. And when they start talking violence, those ticking time bombs, like the same active shooter, the Bernie Sanders supporter that went out into that
baseball field
with that AK, or not AK-47, but AR-15 type rifle, and shot Scalise, mm-hmm. a Republican, and targeted Republicans and had a Republican hit list. Those are the people that I'm worried about. Tick, tick, tick.
And I'd also like to point out that all the people that you just mentioned, and I'm going to take them one by one. If I forget one, please remind me. So let's take Cory Booker. Cory Booker has admitted to sexually assaulting and harassing a woman in the past. Eric Holder has a long list of things which we can talk about, but starting with
The Fast and Furious. How far do you want to go down the line?
I mean, there's so far to go down the line.
I'm surprised that they didn't prosecute him for the Border Patrol agent getting killed by the Mexican cartel.
Absolutely.
With AK-47s that Eric Holder's ATF, and he approved this, sold to Mexican drug cartels that killed that fine police officer.
And Maxine Waters, who has all kinds of skeletons in her closet with finances and family and government finances and that type of thing. And then you have Hillary, who has the longest list of anybody of things that, you know, you can go back to Whitewater and all kinds of different things with the Clintons. And that list is just too long to even go into. So they all have skeletons in their closet.
And why Hillary Rodham Clinton has not been locked up to this day is absolutely beyond me. And I'm sure I butchered her name. I got to tell you something. I can't even stand that woman's name, okay? I'm just going to call her HRC and avoid the wrath of Linda.
Well, I love because that's just a true
Ronism.
Dr. Ronism. Where instead of saying Hillary Rodham Clinton, you said Hillary Rotten Clinton, and that's absolutely correct.
But there's something. There must be something psychological behind that.
I think so. I think so. It works for me. But all these people who are throwing stones at, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? And they just seem to get away with it when. Eric Holder says that when the Republicans are down, that we should kick them. And his first comment about that was, well, Michelle Obama says that when they go low, we go high, which is just so much baloney because they've never been high. They're always in the low, in my mind. But so let's take her statement. And then he said, okay, well, no, we're not going to go high. We're going to kick them while they're low. Okay, let me just remind Eric Holder that Judge Kavanaugh is a Supreme Court justice now. So it wasn't the Republicans who went low. It was the Republicans who went high, and the Democrats went low, and they lost.
Well, the thing that bothers me as a retired law enforcement officer is that we're talking about Eric Holder, the former chief law enforcement officer of the United States. That's who the United States Attorney General is. He's an attorney, but he has peace officer powers, and he is the highest ranking, or was highest ranking law enforcement officer in the United States. And for him to get out and make a speech recruiting people to commit acts of violence, and that's the way it's going to be taken.
Yes.
And that's the way it's going to be taken by my tick, tick, ticking time bombs.
Yes.
I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
It's irresponsible.
Thank God he's not the Attorney General anymore.
Well, and let's hope he never is anything in government again. But all of these people are not doing what we need them to do as people so-called in power. It's disgraceful, and I just think that we need to tone this down and try to work together. And I know that that's not going to happen at this time. And what I'm hearing from the pundits is that this is going to ramp up even more. And as we get closer to the election, it will too. And you know, in my article this week on America Out Loud, I said that people need to get out and vote, and they need to change what's happening now and what they're seeing that I think most Americans in the country are disgusted with, and they are disappointed with, and they are frustrated with, and they just feel like they don't know what to do about it. But here's what they should do about it is they should vote, and they should use that vote in order to not vote for anybody that has this kind of rhetoric going on. They need to make a change. We can make that change, Ron.
You know, what I think is interesting about our relationship, Linda, is you're out in California when you wrote your article for America Out Loud, and I had not read that article, and I wrote my article that said, but for Kavanaugh, there go we. And
I had not read your article.
But then, after my article was published, and your article was actually published first, I went back and I read your article, and you and I came to the same conclusion without even ever talking to each other. But our final statement in both our articles is the only way that you're going to fix this is by getting out to the polls and voting, because that's the only way. You are not going to convince the Democrats and the far left to change their evil ways. It's just not going to happen when the very leaders of their party, who are supposed to be the defenders of democracy and the defenders of the Bill of Rights and our civil rights, are doing what? they are enabling and empowering those people to deny people like Judge Kavanaugh his civil right, Fifth Amendment, due process of law, and presumption of innocence under the rule of law.
Well, and as you recall during the presidential election, how much they tried to deny President Trump from speaking at events. They had all kinds of protesters out there. And a lot of these people, and they admit it, are paid protesters. What have we come to in this country where it's not the real Americans with their feelings that are protesting? It is somebody that is one person. And let's just use an example. Just for example, let's take a George Soros. George Soros has a certain opinion. So what he does is he pays a whole bunch of people to go out and represent that opinion for him. And I don't think that that's the true American way. I think that, everybody has an opinion. Everybody's opinion counts. But what people see about these protests is they think that all these people really disagree, when the honest truth is that most of these people out there don't even know what they're doing out there other than the marching orders that they've been given.
You know, George Soros reminds me of when we were kids and we would go and see a puppet show, but it was a marionette show,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
The difference, you know, for people like, you know, younger people that wouldn't know that.
They're kind of creepy.
Yeah, well, the marionettes are like puppets, but they're on strings,
yeah,
right?
They're creepy.
And there's a guy behind the what do you call it? The curtain.
Yeah.
And he's manipulating, right, the
yes,
marionettes
exactly.
or the puppets. That's who George Soros is.
Well, he's Wag the Dog. And you know, and I know you haven't seen that
movie. I haven't, but I'm going to.
You've got to see that movie because I think it's Dustin Hoffman or
Opportunity. Yes. I know who's in it. I just haven't seen it.
And it is that they... It's not the dog wagging the tail. It's the tail wagging the dog. And that is what is happening right now. But either way, just so that you know, over 15 complaints have come in regarding ethics complaints on Judge Kavanaugh. He's only been on the court for 2 days. And he has had 15 ethics complaints based on his testimonies in his
in the hearings, right?
So somebody decided that whatever he said that they didn't like. So all these have now had Justice Roberts has
moved it out
because to
it
other
has to.
Courts
because
they have to go out to other courts.
That's right. Procedurally,
right.
They have to go outside of the Supreme Court. They have to go to either the same district or an adjoining district. I think it'll go to the D.C. court. But the guy that's in charge of the D.C. court, I understand, is Gorsuch, right? And who didn't make it, right?
No, he did make it.
Well,
no, it's Garland.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
Garland.
You for correcting
me. But Garland's
me.
Going to recuse himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but this is just that same war against Kavanaugh. And I think that that'll be rapidly... dealt with by the courts, because once you get into the courts and you are accusing someone of committing a crime, we're on a totally different standard of proof. That's proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That is not an administrative thing. You are accusing someone of committing perjury. That is a criminal law. The standard of proof changes from the preponderance of evidence, which is civil, to guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. They don't even have a preponderance of evidence. There's no way they're going to get through the standard of probable cause and moving past that to guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. This will be dealt with swiftly and assuredly.
But they just won't stop. It'll be something else all the time. And that's what's frustrating, is that these people never let us move forward. Everything is stopped up and just like all the
obstructed.
Yeah, everything's obstructed. So anyway, that's my kind of gripe for the day. Well, I was surprised to see that Nikki Haley turned in her resignation for the beginning of the year. And I understand that she had said originally that she only wanted to work 2 years. I imagine that job is extremely difficult, especially when you have kids, because there's a lot of traveling, a lot of stress in it. She has been phenomenal, and she's highly respected, and she's going out on a good note. It's not like there's an argument between her and the president. I'm disappointed because I really, really respect her, but I think we'll be seeing her again in the future, and I look forward to it.
You know, what really brought it home to me is when she said, you know, I put on my body armor every single day. Okay, so how many executives, other than the President of the United States, who's mandated to wear it, how many administrators, how many politicians, how many administrative officials do you know that have to put body armor on every single day and go to work? And to me, as a person that wore body armor all his life and occasionally still have to wear body armor to do things, that just shows you how dangerous that job is and how stressful that job is. And I absolutely agree with you. She has done, I think she's been the best. Okay, of all the ones I've ever seen in my lifetime, I think she's done the best. And I truly believe and I hope President Trump will award her with the Medal of Freedom, because which is, I believe, our highest honor, civilian honor. And I hope he has someone in the wings that'll do as good a job as Nikki Haley.
And, you know, there's a couple of women, and I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but there are a couple of women in the administration that I think would be really good for that job. And I do think it's a great job for a woman. And I think that with a woman that can speak her mind as Nikki Haley did, it's just a perfect kind of a combination of tough yet soft. And I think that that really resonates with the UN. So I think that that will be a good job for her.
Well, you know, I really respect and admire Nikki Haley, because she has that wonderful skill set of being so intelligent, so insightful, and so articulate. I mean, those are some pretty heavy, complicated things when you're dealing globally with world affairs. She's just not dealing with one country.
Right.
She's dealing with one country, dealing with the entire world.
And she sticks to her guns, and she's not a mealy mouth like somebody like John Kerry was, or Hillary Clinton was.
Or Madeleine Albright. Yeah. You know, she's really a hero of this country.
Yes.
And I hope that she'll be respected. And one last thing I wanted to say was, what a wonderful professional. Congratulations and thank you for all the hard work that President Trump did with her the other day.
Yep.
When she said she was resigning.
I'm hoping we haven't seen the last of her. She's a true asset to our country.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Hey, is this the last of the pumpkin spice coffee?
This is it?
No. We got to have more.
Well, you know what? 'Tis the season, so we'll pick up some more tomorrow.
Perfect time. Fall coming in. The weather out here when you were over in California in the 80s, it was actually, we got down in the morning to 61 degrees for the last two mornings, and I walked outside, and I tell you, it was just glorious. Nothing like the fall in the Texas Hill Country. Hey, speaking of California, how was your trip coming back to Texas?
Well, I was really glad to come home this time. So it was a tough week. It was actually a tough 2 weeks that I was there. It was really just 14 hours a day of work. So I am really, really happy to be home. And I got to see my Desi dog.
Me and the dog missed you.
Yeah. Well, I missed you guys too. So needed to be done, as it always does, but always happy to be home.
And your travels, and usually you talk to everybody. You're the social butterfly on the airplane. How was your flight back? Always come back with a story of some interesting person that you met.
Well, you know, I actually met a couple of interesting people. Actually, I'd like to talk to people about what they think about things. And, you know, I'm just always curious. And I think being curious is a good thing. And everybody doesn't have to agree with me, but it's good to see how people are feeling in this country. And there was a lot of anger about the proceedings against Kavanaugh. People did not agree with it. And despite what the news says and despite the protesters, that's not how the average person I spoke to felt. But interestingly, today I spoke with a couple of people that I took an Uber, was talking with the driver. He was 57 years old, lived in California all his life, was talking about how sick to death he was of California and their politics and the fact that Jerry Brown is commuting the sentences of people that have been convicted of, you know, capital
murder.
Crimes.
Murder.
And
sexual offenses.
Absolutely. And the same things that you and I feel, the taxes and the traffic and the crime. And this person really had a lot to say about it and just kind of feels the same way that we felt when we left California, that it just is becoming a third world country.
So in other words, it was a little bit like the Uber version of talking while married.
Well, it really was. And he really was on the same page. He was quite vocal about it. Now, as I was flying, I had a really nice lady from Pasadena that sat next to me. And she was probably in her 60s, and she felt the same way. She was on her way to Florida for a visit to somebody, and she felt the same way. Also, she felt that it's very, very hopeless feeling in California. She mentioned the homelessness, the gas prices, the politics, the crime, a lot about the crime. And, you know, so again, the same things that you and I saw when we were there that we still see. People don't like it in California, and neither person that I was talking to, at least on this particular day, felt that the politicians there even understand Californians, and they felt pretty hopeless because they understand that, well, I don't know if you saw it or not, Ron, but the DMV in California, let me put quotation marks with my fingers in front of your face right now, accidentally registered over 23,000 illegal aliens.
From the ID cards. I knew that was going to happen. I was so against that.
And they sent them voter registration.
I knew they were going to do that.
And some people complained, like there were some Canadian people that got them that said, no, I'm not a citizen here. But the vast majority didn't. Then the next day, they found another 5,000. And this is not going to end. And this is done on purpose.
Of course it is.
And the people feel hopeless because their vote no longer counts because
that's
the
right.
Illegals are taking over the vote.
I was absolutely vociferous when we lived in California and that legislation came up, and I wrote to every single person that I could think of in my district, out of my district, including federal government, senators, our congresspeople, the governor's office. I said, as a former law enforcement officer, don't do this, because this is a gateway. I don't care what you call it. It's only good for ID, for driving. You can't use it for this. You can't use it for that. I said, once you hook it into the DMV system, and we have voter registration, motor voter registration.
Yeah.
I said, it just takes the flick of a button, and all those people that are illegal aliens are going to get automatically registered to vote. Please don't do it.
And they did.
Of course they did.
Now,
makes me angry.
On the good side, Texas had just been in a lawsuit about having voter ID.
That's right, the Republic of Texas.
They won their lawsuit.
Correct.
And we in Texas now have to show ID to vote, I believe.
Did you not just tell me that there's a court decision? Is it where? North Dakota?
North Dakota.
What were you telling me about that?
North Dakota also had a lawsuit about the voter registration, and they went to the court, and the court turned them down, and then they appealed it, and the Supreme Court just upheld that they have the right to ask for ID and addresses of the people that are voting. And I just think, I hope that tide is turning so much, because that's so important.
Well, I think the tide is going to change. And the United States Department of Justice, I believe now, is behind the impetus to get that in all 50 states. All right, where you've got to have valid identification be able to register to vote. So I think that's extremely important.
Well, I do too. And while we're on the subject of politics, I just want to say, as far as this whole thing, for example, in California and immigration, well, when California decided to make it the election be that the two top vote getters get to, so it could be two Democrats in an election now instead of a Democrat and a Republican. I mean, they have virtually destroyed the chances of the Republicans in California to ever get an office, because most of the big offices now have two Democrats running, and that's your choice. It's left or left. That's your choice as a voter.
Well, let me take it further than that, because that ties in to me with this large discussion that we're having during the last couple of weeks on the census, because we have the census coming up, right? And there is a question. And by the way, that question was submitted by the United States Department of Justice to, is it the Department of Commerce that does the census? I could be wrong. But it's, anyway, one of our other, one of our other branches of government that puts out the census. I don't know if it's Health or Human Services or Department of Commerce, whatever. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that we definitely need to have that question on there that asks whether you're here in the United States legally or not, instead of that question being removed. Because what happens is that redistricting is done in accordance, and money is done in accordance with how many people that you have in an area, but they are supposed to be American citizens.
Yes.
They are not supposed to be illegal aliens. So in Southern California, for instance, where you have large percentages of illegal aliens, especially like in Los Angeles County, and San Diego County, which is classically more of a conservative area, you can totally turn the district upside down with respect to not only representation, political representation, but the money that comes in to the state.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. And the thing is that legal immigration into the United States has been at record levels for the last number of decades, and 80% of that legal immigration into the states, and I'm talking legal, is from Mexico, Central America, and Asia. And that's the unanticipated result of chain migration, family chain migration, right?
You're right.
Well, non-Hispanic white voters have not favored a Democrat for president since 1992, but every other ethnicity, Hispanic, Black, Asian, have vastly only favored non-Republican
you're right.
candidates. So at we don't have, let's just take white Europeans coming into the country. There's about 180,000 a year coming into the country. But just the people that come in to have their babies in the United States.
Correct. Like Chinese baby mills that they have, especially in California. We saw that in Southern California where we lived.
Right. Just that population of the, of people is 250,000 a year. So those
Amazing.
People are far over the numbers of people that are even immigrating as whites from, say, Europe. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it can really make you feel pretty hopeless. And the thing is, as we saw that Kanye West just recently went to the White House and met with the president and, you know, he's talking about important things about jobs for Blacks, people coming out of prison.
And prison
mm-hmm.
reform.
Prison
and
reform.
Criminal justice reform. And you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Because look at the backlash. And by the way, I'm no real fan of Kanye West after, you know, some of the stunts he's pulled
yeah, I know.
Before, okay?
Yeah.
The disrespect that he's shown and everything. But I think he's kind of had a come-to-Jesus moment with himself. And now he's looking at what this president is doing with respect to bringing Blacks up instead of, you know, the other party, which really wants to enslave them with welfare and government-subsidized housing and all these, you know, all these gimme-gimme-gimmes, you know, for free. I mean, that doesn't allow a person to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But anyway, getting back to Kanye West, I've got to respect him because that's a tough position to be in. And I heard that one of the politicians, or it was one of the people on, no, it wasn't a politician, it was a guy on CNN.
MSNBC.
MSNBC referred to him as a, quote, token Negro for Donald Trump. And I couldn't have think of anything more racist, instead of using the, other than using the N-word, that you could, you know, say to a Black man that they're a token Negro going back from like the 50s.
Yeah, and I'm actually not sure who said that, but when Kanye West hugged President Trump, MSNBC made some snide remark about that. But, you know, the thing is, Ron, we have 11 million illegal aliens in this country. And had Hillary Clinton been president, her intention was to by executive order, give them blanket amnesty. And that would give them 11 million more
correct
and votes, which is their intention.
And Republicans would have never, ever recovered for something like that.
No. And that, and whoever gets in, be they a Democrat, will probably do that. And the Republicans will never recover from it. But this is a time when people should not be looking at Republican, Democrat. They should be looking at what the president, who happens to be President Trump at this time, has done for the country. And it was interesting because the people that I spoke to when I was in California said that very thing, that this president has done more for all races of people, all types of people, all types of jobs, all types of ages, all types of races, than any president in his first 2 years than they can remember in their lifetime. So I think that those are the things that we should be looking at.
You know, it's so interesting you bring that up because it allowed me to reflect over a bunch of presidents that we've had in my lifetime. And I absolutely agree with you. President Trump has done a remarkable job, not just in the very short time that he's been president. He's not even halfway through his presidency.
Correct.
Okay, how time flies, by the way.
I know.
But as far as Blacks and other people of color are concerned, how those people have been lifted up by this economy, and, you know, the job growth is through the roof right now. So many opportunities for people of color created by Donald Trump and his wonderful administration.
Well, so many bests, so many highest employment for Blacks, highest employment for Hispanics, highest employment for women, highest employment, period.
And, you know, people that are astute business people, like Kanye West, they get it. Okay, and people like Jim Brown, the famous football player,
yes,
right?
Yes, he also was in the meeting.
He gets it, right? Yes, he was just in the news recently. So those blacks get it. I don't know how many people would resonate with what black people would resonate with what Kanye West has to say, but I really hope they just take time and look at the accomplishments of President Trump and his administration, and vote Republican this next time around.
Well, these people aren't stupid, Ron. Not any of the races are smarter or stupider than the other, and people can see for themselves. And if they just take the time to read up and get informed. Okay, because our biggest problem in this country is low information, and listening to these crazy news people with their fake news, just people should, you know, kind of learn for themselves, read different things, not, you know, read some liberal things if you want, but read some conservative things too, and then make your own decisions, and people will come to their own right decisions by just being informed.
No, I agree. And again, this is something where this president has taken us as Americans to places that we haven't been for generations with respect to job growth, the positive negotiations that we have with other countries right now, with respect to trade, the negotiations he's having with China. And you and I have both written about this, and we've talked about it together on many evenings. The Chinese need us more than we need them. I think we're going to come out above on that. He's talking about $250 million worth of tariffs because the Chinese make about, I'm sorry, billion, because the Chinese make about $500 billion from the United States annually. And he's looking at making tariffs of $250 billion, which cuts them by 50%, which is really going to hurt them because Europe cannot even come close to the economic buying power that the United States has.
Right. And I'm being hit with these tariffs right now myself. So I am being hit with a 10% tariff on a lot of the goods that I'm bringing in. And you know what? I'm just fine with it because I think that it's short term, and I think it's going to really turn itself around and be a benefit for us. And sometimes, you know, in business, you have to take one step back to take two or three forward. And that's how I see it. And I'm good with it.
And I absolutely agree with you in that. And you're a remarkable businesswoman, as I've said many times. And I think you've got your finger right on the pulse.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, I'm in the bottom third of my coffee cup with my pumpkin spice coffee.
Pumpkin.
Dr. Ronism.
Yes.
Pumpkin. Anyway, and I wanted to talk, you know, we mentioned the United States Department of Justice a couple of times, and I don't know if you know, but the United States Department of Justice, you know, continues to be headed at this particular moment by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, just sent a letter to the City of Chicago officials and its police department voicing its displeasure with what I refer to as a deal with the devil that the city of Chicago is making with the American Civil Liberties Union. That's an oxymoron. And in regards to the future of policing in the city, which really handcuffs the officers, I'm using a good analogy, handcuffs the officers with respect to their contacts with the public and Terry stops, or what we refer to as stop and frisk. They don't want this deal, and they believe, and President Trump also believes, that if they go through, meaning the city, if it goes through with the deal with the ACLU, and they curb way back on stop and frisk and some of these other things that ACLU wants to do with these officers and this independent oversight board, that crime is going to go through the roof and their homicide rate will never be mitigated and will in fact go up further than it's gone before.
Well, I just don't even know what these people are thinking. And anybody who has been an officer understands how important stop and frisk is. And especially in a city like Chicago, where you have so many weapons out there and so many illegal weapons. You and I just had a conversation about 400 weapons that were stolen from UPS that were found in Chicago. These guys need to be stopped and frisked. We're not infringing on anybody's rights here. We need to worry about the public instead of the criminals for a change.
Yeah, you know, on my show on America Out Loud, on A Thread of Evidence, we talk about the standards of proof and we talk about stop and frisk. I think, honey, the average person that's uneducated about civil rights and police practices think that the cops just go out there willy-nilly and they just stop all sorts of people for no reason at all and then go on to some sort of fishing expedition, when in actuality, the minimum standard of proof that they need is reasonable suspicion, all right, which is generally defined as specific articulable facts and circumstances and evidence that leads an officer to conclude that criminal activity is afoot and there is a particular person that's associated with it that they want to stop. And then there's more reasonable suspicion once you stop them to determine whether or not they might be armed sufficient to allow you to search for a weapon. So that old adage is, you know, I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6, right? I mean, that no longer applies. So officers are trying to go out there. They're trying to do the best job that they can to stop and frisk suspicious people that they believe might be armed, people that are on probation, people that are on parole, people that are doing suspicious things, gang members, cartel members, drug dealers, all of these bad guys. And that's the only way that you're going to reduce crime. And if you take that away from them or severely restrict them more than what the laws are with respect to, you know, officers have to comport with civil rights law, case law, if you take that away from them and make it even more restrictive, the cops are not going to stop and frisk people. They're not going to do anything, and your crime rate is going to go through the roof.
Well, and who does that hurt? So are we trying to protect the criminals, or are we trying to protect the law-abiding citizens? And it seems to everybody that I talk to that we are trying to protect the criminals more than the law-abiding citizens. It's something that I say all the time. When you don't arrest these people, when you don't have the ability to do your job as a police officer and find out who the bad guys are and help mitigate that, you are harming and making victims of the rest of the good people in that community. And that is totally unfair. And that is not how this is supposed to work.
You know, you are literally creating, with a policy like they're looking at Chicago, with the ACLU, my God, what an organization to get in bed with. That's why this Rahm Emanuel has absolutely got to go. This guy has got to leave town. I hope they tar and feather this guy and ship him out of town on a rail, because that homicide rate right now and that gun violence rate right now in the city of Chicago is through the roof.
And it's not just the bad guys who are getting shot. It's children.
Innocent people.
It's old people.
Exactly.
It's people walking down the street.
Exactly.
It's just people that are becoming victims for no reason at all.
And you know, our good friend Eric Pistick, who is the detective or the former detective and used to head up one of the, I think he was head of the detectives union in the great city of New York, the Big Apple. We've had dinner with Eric once or twice.
Sure.
when I'm doing Fox News over there. And Eric has told us that stop and frisk is such an important investigative tool and a crime reducing tool for NYPD officers there. And when that idiot Bill de Blasio severely restricted stop and frisk, the crime rate went up. The gun violence rate went up. It was horrible for those poor police officers. Just a morale killer.
Well, you cannot do this to the good people in America who are doing nothing wrong. It's just not fair to those people. And we need to, I mean, I'm willing to give a little bit on the whole civil rights thing if it makes America safer.
And I agree with you.
I've never watched The View in my life.
Neither have I.
I've only heard about, you know, this happened on The View, that happened on The View. I see outtakes. Honestly, all of those women are just a train wreck to me.
Well, they have one conservative in there. I always have the token conservative there
that they
dump on all the time.
Right. But they were dumping on, speaking of dumping, on Melania Trump and her comments about the Me Too movement. And what Melania had said that they were all incensed about is that Melania said, you know, it's not that we should just believe all women. There's got to be some evidence. I mean, women have to produce some evidence if they're going to accuse somebody of something, that they need to produce some evidence. And so everybody got in a big, you know, Twitter about that on the show, and they were arguing about it. And they said, no, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, women couldn't get anybody prosecuted. And now, you know, we can prosecute people just on their word. And then there was other attorneys on the show that said, well, no, we actually have to have some evidence that what they're saying is
exactly
true.
We do.
And
it's called the rule of law.
And I just thought that this was really an interesting conversation. And of course, we should have evidence. You cannot just make, and this doesn't just go for sexual assault, Ron. It goes for anything. You cannot just make accusations and have no proof of anything, because we would be in chaos as a country if we did that. And you can extrapolate that to anything you want to accuse anybody of in order to get your way. And that's not the way that we should go. But here's the hypocrisy that Whoopi Goldberg on that show, who's you know, yes, we should believe all women, and if they say it, then it happened, right? Well here's Whoopi Goldberg.
That's not the only person that Bayhorn has said the same thing.
Right. Well, they all of them do, but her hypocrisy is overwhelming to me, because here's a person who, when Patrick Harris, you know, Doogie Howser, was 15 years old, and was in a show that Whoopi Goldberg was in, she was basically coming on to him at 15 years old and telling him that she was going to have sex with him, you know, 10 years down the road. And,
yikes.
And, you know.
There's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, there is. But I'm just
saying.
And
Patrick Harris being gay.
Well, I don't know if we knew that at the time. But
there's another nightmare.
At this juncture, if that was reversed and it was a man and the girl was 15 years old, I mean, he'd be accused of all kinds of things. So, you know, she is just as guilty as anybody else, but wants to sit and judge others. And I just hate the hypocrisy of these people.
And you know what I'm referring to being a nightmare for poor Patrick Harris, who's gay, is having Whoopi Goldberg, who's straight, coming on to Patrick Harris. And that must been a pretty, especially at 15 years old. I don't know if he realized he was gay at that time.
I don't know either.
But can you imagine what that's like for anybody? Okay, so now this is a guy. So, you know, the roles are reversed. And here's a guy that's worried about some much older woman, you know, coming on to him. So, you know, how dare she do something like that?
You know, President Trump does things that most people don't even know that happen behind the scenes. And he's always doing something. And I love this about him. But he signed a law that ends the gag order against pharmacists sharing money-saving information. So if you can believe this, Ron, there was a law that said that if you go to the pharmacy and you have your insurance card with you and you want to buy a drug, And that drug is cheaper for you to buy if you actually pay out of pocket than what you pay for the insurance. So your copay for that drug might be, say, $40. But if you bought that drug yourself, it would cost you $10. They were not allowed to tell you that. They had to take your insurance card and you had to pay the $40.
Well, that just smacks of lobbyists getting involved in that, right?
Of course. Well, President Trump signed a law that said that pharmacists can and should, I don't know if it says it, they should, but they are now can tell you that, hey, Mr. Customer, this is cheaper if you pay for this out of your pocket.
Well, you know, that's so interesting that you mentioned that. I've actually had pharmacists tell me that, hey, this is cheaper if you get the generic drug. You know, I've had them tell me that before, but this new thing is very helpful.
Well, and the generic drug, there's also a piece of this law that also says that, too, just to be sure that they can tell you. And it also, what the other thing that the pharmaceutical industry has done is they have withheld generic drugs. So let's just say that you have a name brand drug and there's a generic drug that is produced. It has been withheld from production and distribution because the drug company with the main brand wants to make the money. And so, like you say, it's probably all lobbyists. I don't know who makes these decisions, but President Trump just voided that and said, no, you cannot withhold these generic drugs at a lower price. So everything that he is doing is for the consumers. And, you know, if you look at this, Ron, when we have this huge, stupid race debate in this country, this covers all races. This is good for all races. It's good for all people of all ages, all everything. So these are not anything that are political. These are just things that are good for Americans that are going to put money in our pocket and not in the big corporation's pocket.
And these laws have been around for quite some time, and this is the first president to actually do something about it. I don't care if you were Democrat or Republican, this particular Republican president is the first president as a businessman to make that happen.
Yes, and to care enough that it does happen. Other big health news that is really going to affect people in America is that the antitrust officials have just approved CVS to purchase Aetna Healthcare. It's a $69 billion acquisition. And this is huge because we have not had this situation happen before at this level. And I think that we are going to have to see how this comes out. But CVS has 10,000 stores and Aetna has, I think, something like 10 million members. So 5 million of those members at this point go to CVS to get their drugs. Now, CVS is going to see a significant increase in their customer base, but they also want to do some things in the healthcare market that are better.
Well, that's interesting because you and I, when we lived in California for years, would get all of our prescription medications at CVS.
Yes.
And they used to screw them up all the time, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
They're terrible on that.
And well, that particular store was, but also we got
Not all CVS's, okay? Just full disclosure, sweetheart. Just that one.
They got our flu. We got our flu shots there. And the other thing that they have at CVS, which I think is going to be impacted by Aetna, which I think is going to be a really good thing, is they have those minute clinics at CVS. So within the store, they have a little medical clinic.
I've done that.
And you can just walk in. So if you have, say, a cold or a flu or something, you don't have to have an appointment. You can just walk in. And I think that that's a really great thing because getting to the doctor these days is crazy. I know when I call for an appointment for anything, I am put off for over a month just see somebody. So let's just say that you have the flu or something. You have to go to an urgent care. You have to go somewhere else because you can't even get in to see a doctor anymore. They've screwed up the medical system in this country so much.
Well, that's a great point because look how many times when we lived in California, we don't have an urgent care that we have visited yet here in Texas.
Oh, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
oh, we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But remember all the times in California when we lived in Temecula where we would go to the urgent care,
sure.
Right? And we always got served. You know, sometimes you had to wait a half an hour, but boy, that sure beats waiting 6 or 8 hours. You know, speaking of CVS and the 1 minute little clinic there. Mm-hmm. When I got over pneumonia and I wanted to protect myself the following year, that's where I went, and I got my pneumonia shot, and I got my flu shot, and I got my second pneumonia shot. So I like that one-minute clinic idea very much.
Well, you know, one thing that I always miss today is back when we were younger and we had doctors, you would go, you'd make an appointment with your doctor, you'd go to the doctor would come to your house even. But you, if you needed an appointment, you saw the doctor the same day or the next day. It was very, very easy. And you didn't have to go through anybody, and you didn't have all these cards like we have now, and you didn't have these middlemen. You just had the relationship with your doctor, and that was it. And we have totally lost that, and I want that back. And I think most Americans want that back. Well, this story is so interesting to me. I don't know where it's going to go, but Amazon, who is, you know, becoming its own country, is venturing into the healthcare market. And one of the things that they want to address is the inefficient middlemen and poor primary care and high costs. And they are partnering with some medical people and surgeons to figure this out and bring a better delivery system of healthcare. And I'm all for that because I don't want to see it go to single payer healthcare. I want my relationship back with my doctor. And right now, the way that it is now, it's virtually impossible. So two interesting people, Amazon and CVS, making big waves recently in the healthcare markets.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you bring this up, and I certainly hope they'll bring that program to fruition and it will achieve some success, because I would certainly look at it. You know, the thing that I've talked with you about before is there are so many frustrated doctors out there, especially new doctors that have completed their residency and now they're out on their own. They have got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and they just can't face the medical system the way it is. And that's why so many doctors have fled the HMOs and the PPOs and all this other stuff and have gone to other countries, especially Mexico. And when you and I are living down in Mexico from time to time, we absolutely love the more like it's more like concierge service, you know, where you need the doctor, he'll come out and visit you, or you go into his office, you never have to wait. And that's especially the case with our phenomenal dentist, who's a maxillofacial surgeon, mm-hmm. Dr. Jose de Santana. And we just go in there, and as soon as you're there, boom, you don't sit in the chair to even read an article in a magazine. You're right in and getting all your work done. And it's cheap. It's extremely efficient. It's a beautifully clean place. And there are so many of those medical services popping up in Mexico. I would love to see affordable concierge doctor service here in the United States.
Absolutely.
Well, young lady, it is certainly wonderful having you back in the Casa de Nuestro.
Well, and today it was a very special day, which is the reason I came home, especially because our son, his house closed escrow today, and they can officially move out of our house with their dogs.
Oh my God. I am counting down the days and the hours till it's just you and me and Desi and a quiet house.
It'll be 2 days. That'll just be in 2 days. They've already started moving their things. And, you know, just I'm so excited for them to have
and yeah,
their
congratulations
first,
to them. Yes. And their house is beautiful.
It's beautiful on a beautiful piece of property. And I'm just so proud of them and so happy for them to go on to this next portion of life.
Me too. And I'm ready for bed. How about you?
I'm ready.
I love you. And I'm so happy that you're back. We missed you so much.
Oh, I missed you too.